Well, good morning once again, CPC. Thank you so much for joining us today in this rather unconventional way. We know that many families, many small groups are worshiping together in homes, perhaps offices, wherever. And today we are in our third week of a sermon series that we have entitled Making a Move, which is all about all of God's people being equipped to do ministry. One of my favorite authors is a fellow by the name of Wallace Stegner. And for years, Stegner was a professor at Stanford University. In fact, he was a resident of my hometown of Los Altos. But Stegner wrote about the relationship between people and the places that they live. And I enjoy his writing a lot because so much of his writing takes place in Northern California. But one of his books I love just for its title. It's called The Spectator Bird. And it's about a man who lives his life as a spectator rather than a participant until he comes to grips with his fundamental identity through a trip to his homeland. Now, this is the same kind of experience that I think many people have with the church. Many people remain spectator birds because they're really not in touch with their fundamental identity as members of the body of Christ. The scripture is abundantly clear that the ministry of the church belongs not to a few paid professionals we call ministers or clergy, but rather to all the people of God. In fact, I believe this is why God is actually using this COVID-19 crisis right here at CPC and in other churches that I'm in contact with as well. I mean, here we are talking about how we're all equipped for ministry inside and outside the walls of the church. And then this thing happens, this crisis that forces us to do ministry in our homes and in our neighborhoods all over the peninsula. We know the early church met in homes. We know the persecuted church in China has met in house churches for decades, and they've borne amazing fruit doing it that way. So what if God is actually using this virus to shake up things in the complacent American church? What if God is using this to move people from being spectators to being servants? What if God is moving ministry and ministers out of big box churches and into neighborhoods and family rooms? What if God is calling you to do ministry that you never thought possible? Andy Crouch, one of my favorite writers, wrote this just this week. He said, "This crisis presents an extraordinary opportunity to fortify small communities of love and care for our neighbors. That will only happen if we lead in a way that reduces fear, increases faith, and reorients all of us from self-protection to serving others." Let me just give you one example of how one CPCer, Colleen Wynn, is taking action. So a college friend of hers is an ER physician at a local county hospital. She's not a believer, but Colleen has already invited her to our Summer XP ministry, and her daughter is coming. And she texted Colleen recently about the stress and morale of her team at the hospital as they scramble to respond to this pandemic. So this prompted Colleen to ask if there's anything that we could do as a church to help. She responded by telling Colleen that supplying meals would actually encourage and uplift the spirits of staff and nourish them to keep doing what they're doing, as many of them are being forced to work beyond their normal shifts. So Colleen worked with Jen Marshall, our outreach director, and started a meal train for those workers at that hospital. What an absolutely awesome response. You see, this crisis is presenting us with new opportunities at the ground level for ministry. But here's the problem. Sometimes you perhaps do not feel adequate to do ministry. Maybe you don't feel equipped. You're willing, you're available, but you're really not sure that you have what it takes. And what I want to say to you is that in one sense, you're absolutely right. You don't have what it takes. No one does. You see, we're all inadequate. We're all fragile. We're all broken. But once you know that, you also need to know that God loves to use and to work in and through those who are broken and those who are utterly dependent on Him. And God has promised to equip us to do the ministry He calls us to do. And so our text today is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. And this is a wonderful passage that tells us how God equips us to do His work. So look how the Apostle Paul starts out in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Now notice that these words have the weight of apostolic authority behind them. That's why Paul says, "For by the grace given to me," he's talking about the gift that he has and his calling as an apostle. And so with that authority, with that calling that Paul has, he tells us first how to think about ourselves. And first he says, don't think too highly about yourself. So lots of people actually have an overestimation of themselves and what they can contribute. So we can think too highly of ourselves when we think we can do everything, or when we think that what we do is more important than what other people do. So if I said that my place in the body of Christ is more important than your place in the body of Christ, that would be thinking too highly of myself. On the other hand, we can think too little of ourselves. Instead, Paul says, we should think of ourselves with sober judgment. It's interesting, isn't it, that many people think that real, like, spiritual Christians should never even think of themselves. They should only think about other people. But Paul says, hey, think about yourself. It's okay to think about yourself, but do it soberly and realistically. He says, think of yourself in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Literally, that should read, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has measured to you. So Paul is talking about the particular measure of faith he's given to each of us to carry out our various callings within the church. So we're each given a unique capacity to serve God, and we should function within that capacity. Sometimes, for example, I'll hear an athlete on television being interviewed, and he'll say something like this, you know, I just need to play within myself. I just need to play within myself. What does that mean? Well, I think it means what Paul means here. Don't try to do more or less than you're capable of. Play within yourself. And so that leads Paul into a discussion of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every believer for use in building up the body of Christ. Look what Paul says starting in verse 4. He says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." So Paul says we are part of the body of Christ, and just like our body is one but has many different parts, which all function differently, so the body of Christ has many members with different function. Every part is needed, but we're still one. So there's this beautiful unity and diversity in the body of Christ. So, for example, go watch a soccer match sometime. Watch, which we're not able to watch much these days, right? But watch as the center forward slips between two defenders, leaps high in the air, traps a ball on his chest, drops it on his left foot, flips it to his right foot, glances at the goal, and then with tremendous power from his hips and legs, shoots into the far left corner of the net, just outside of the goalie's reach. How many members of his body were utilized in scoring that goal? His chest, his feet, his eyes, his hips, his legs, and countless muscles in his body allow him to rifle that soccer ball over 100 miles per hour with incredible accuracy into the goal. So we marvel at the wonder of the human body, each part working together in perfect coordination. And that's how the body of Christ is meant to function. There are a few things that you should know about how spiritual gifts operate within the body of Christ. First of all, every member of the body has at least one spiritual gift. Everyone has a part to play. The church was never meant to be run by paid professionals. For over 50 years, this has been a core value of ours at CPC. We're all called to ministry. We're all gifted. Second, God is the one who distributes these gifts. In other passages, we're specifically told it's God, the Holy Spirit, who chooses our gifts and distributes those gifts to us as he wills. So we don't choose our gifts any more than we don't get to choose our brothers and sisters, right? They're given to us by God when we become part of his body through faith in Christ. Third, the purpose of these gifts is to build up the body of Christ. So it's not, of course, to draw attention to ourselves. It's not even so that we can feel good about ourselves, although I believe we will feel a lot of satisfaction from using our gifts. But the focus and the attention should not be on us, but on God and how we can glorify him and how we can edify and serve and build up and bless others through the use of our gifts. Now, Paul goes on and in this passage, and he lists several spiritual gifts. I'll pick it up right in the middle of verse 6. Here's what he says. He says, if your gift is prophecy, or prophesying, I should say, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Notice Paul mentions seven spiritual gifts here. Let me just once again list them out. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, leading, and giving, and showing mercy. So you should know that this particular list given in Romans 12 is not exhaustive, because there are other passages that speak of other spiritual gifts. So last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, and there we saw the gifts of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelism. And then if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, there are added gifts of administration, knowledge, wisdom, discernment, faith, helps, healing, miracles, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And then finally, in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter actually just divides all the gifts into two categories. Listen to what Peter writes. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So, in Peter's mind, there are really two categories of gifts, broad categories of gifts. There are speaking gifts on the one hand, and there are serving gifts on the other hand. All of us should have a basic understanding of what the gifts are and how each of them functions. And the gist of what Paul says here is, listen, whatever gift you have, put it to use. That's why he says, if it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to give encouragement, then give encouragement. Now, we all kind of read that and we go, well, yeah, duh. But what if you're not serving in some way in the body of Christ? You need to hear that. Put your gift to use. Paul also says, whatever gift you have, use it wholeheartedly. So he says, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So I think behind this is that we must realize that we can allow our flesh to get in the way when it comes to exercising our spiritual gifts. We can prophesy, but not in a way consistent with faith. We can give, but hold something back. We can lead, but get tired and sloppy. We can show mercy, but let the problems of others drag us down. See, the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit are dangerous. And one of the assumptions that Paul actually makes in this passage is that we believers in the body of Christ will actually have some kind of grasp of what our gifts actually are. So why else would he say, if your gift is this or that, then use it. Use it well. So you might be wondering today, like, well, great, how do I understand what my spiritual gifts are? I know some of you may have a very good idea of what they are, but others of you don't. And I should say, for all of us, it's a process. And sometimes it's a long process. But you can start by asking yourself four questions in how to find my gifts. Number one, what do I love to do? What do I love to do? So if God has given you a gift, you're going to be passionate about doing it. I mean, it's going to be like your sweet spot. I mean, it won't feel like serving. It'll feel like you're doing what you were created to do. It's like Eric Liddell says in that movie, Chariots of Fire. He says, I know that God has made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And when you're using your gift, that's how you feel. Second, ask yourself, what am I passionate about? Someone put it this way, what makes you pound your fist on the table? When you look at the church or you look at the world, what do you feel compelled to do? That's probably a good clue as to what your gifts and what your calling is. Third question to ask yourself, what am I good at? So, yes, you may have to develop the use of your gift, but somewhere along the line, you're going to discover that, hey, I'm good at this. I have an aptitude for this. Not only do you enjoy it, but others are blessed by you using that gift. Fourth, ask yourself, well, what do other people around me that know me, what do they say? So God gives us gifts, as I've said, not for ourselves, but to build up others. So ask others that you're in community with, what do I do that builds you up? What do you think my gifts might be? Spiritual gifts are always discovered in community. Finally, ask yourself, have I even prayed about this? Like, ask God. God, make it clear to me what my gifts are. God, I want to be used by you. And don't be discouraged if you don't get an immediate answer. Keep praying, persevere in prayer. God will eventually reveal to you what your gifts are. It's a process. You know, I've thought about this, and I think in many ways, you discover your gifts in the same way you discovered your natural talents, right? So if you're a musician, how did you discover your talent as a musician? If you're an athlete, how did you discover your athleticism? If you're like a techie, how did you discover your techiness, right? Not a problem I have, by the way. But usually it started just by being attracted to what someone else was doing. So you're drawn to it. It sort of interests you. You like what you see. You want to try it. And then as you begin, you might stumble at first, but you generally find, hey, I'm good at this. I have an aptitude for this. And then other people see that, and they affirm you. And maybe you find ways to sharpen that talent. then opportunities come your way, and pretty soon you're in circulation. You're using that gift or talent. I think it's the same way with spiritual gifts. I remember as a young man, as a new believer, I was in awe of great teaching and preaching. And then I had a chance, I think I was like, 19 or 20 years old, to teach a Bible study for the very first time to a small group. I mean, I was like, I had died and gone to heaven. At that point, though I thought I might have the gift of teaching, trust me, nobody around me had the gift of listening, okay? But the more I taught, the more apparent it was to me that that was my gift. So I worked to develop that gift, and God opened doors for me to use that gift. And others affirmed me in that. That's how you discover your gifts. Don't wait until you know your gifts to jump into ministry and try different things. Jump in, and God will make it clear to you. This brings up something I think is important to mention. Just because you don't have a particular spiritual gift doesn't mean you shouldn't serve at times in that capacity. So, for example, you can't say, well, I don't have the gift of giving, so I don't have to give. Well, we're all called to give. But those with the gift of giving are especially good at it. Or you can't say, listen, I don't have the gift of helps or service, so, I'm not going to help set up the chairs at church, right? That's for the people with the gift of helps. No, we're all called to serve, right? Or you can't say, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I never need to share my faith with anybody else. But we're all called to be witnesses. It's true that those things might not be our primary ministry in the body of Christ, but we're still called, all of us, to be available to God and to respond to the opportunities that he brings our way. So one helpful tool that we have on our website, you can find it at cpc.org/serve. We have an assessment called SHAPE. And what I like about this is it looks at your entire profile, not just your spiritual gifts. So SHAPE is actually an acronym, and it's very helpful. So S stands for spiritual gifts. Again, supernatural endowments given to you by the Holy Spirit when he enters your life. H stands for heart. In other words, what are you passionate about? I talked about that a moment ago. A stands for abilities. So what are your natural talents? What are your skills? So those are given to you by God too, just as spiritual gifts are. P stands for personality. So it also helps to know, like, what basic personality type am I, right? That might have something to say about what kind of ministry you're in. Am I an introvert? Am I an extrovert? Questions like that. And E stands for experience or maturity. And that's going to dictate something of what you end up doing as well. I mean, when you think about it, a brand new believer who doesn't know anything about the scriptures might have the gift of teaching, but they're not ready to be thrown into a teaching role yet, right? They need some experience and some maturity before they can do that. So this SHAPE assessment is easy to take, and it will help you identify what some of your spiritual gifts might be. And it also will help you identify where you might best use those in the body of Christ. I would encourage you to take that assessment and talk about it with a friend, or talk about it with one of our pastors or directors or elders at CPC, even your community group leader or small group leader. Talk to them about that. Run that by them and process that with them. You know, I've been thinking about how all of this relates, this discussion of spiritual gifts, how it actually relates to this COVID-19, whatever it is, 13, 19, 12, we're in right now. The different ways people respond to a crisis like this in the body of Christ, I believe, illustrate how God uses all of us differently to accomplish his purposes. So think about it. Say one person is responding to this crisis by saying something like this: hey, we need to have a Bible study. We need to see what God's word says about how we should respond to a crisis like that. What gift do you think that person might have? Probably teaching, right? Somebody else says, no. What we need are generous programs of financial assistance to help those who are out of jobs. What gift do you think that person might have? Giving? Probably. Or someone else says, oh, you know what? Through this crisis, God is clearly exposing our sin. He's warning us all of judgment to come. We all need to repent. What do you think gift, what gift do you think that person have? Maybe prophecy. Somebody else says, no. What we need in our church is to mobilize practical assistance for people in the church who are in the community and how we can serve them and provide meals for them and help for them. What gift is that? Probably service or helps. Someone else says, no. What we need to do is we need to come alongside people and really encourage them to wash their hands and get tested if they're not feeling well. What gift would that be? Well, that would probably be the gift of encouragement or exhortation, right? Somebody else says, no. What our church really needs is a smooth-running organization so that every aspect of the church can be carried out efficiently at this time. Hey, sounds like the gift of leadership or administration to me. Someone else says, oh, no. What we need is a special outreach that we can really connect with the feelings that people are having as they experience this crisis. You know, we need to be compassionate. We need to sit with people who are hurting. Well, that person probably has the gift of mercy. You see my point? That God has put together the body of Christ in such a way that we can accomplish together all that it means to be Jesus in this situation. Let me put it to you very simply today. You have been given a gift. So I have this gift right here. You see this big old gift? Just pretend for a moment that you have been given a gift like this. God the Holy Spirit is the one who has given you this gift. Inside this box is something the body of Christ, the church, which Jesus Christ shed his blood for, desperately needs you to put into use in order to be all that it is meant to be. I challenge you today, open this gift, open it up, and use what's inside. This church and the people that we're trying to reach desperately need you to unwrap this gift. I don't say this to lay a trip on you. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty today. That's the last thing I want. I'm not saying this so that we can fill more slots at CPC to do our ministry or whatever. It's not about that. This is about you becoming all that God meant you to be. This is about you coming to grips with your fundamental calling as a minister, as a member of the body of Christ. This is about you no longer being a spectator bird. I know that here at CPC, we have hundreds of people that are actively involved in ministry and using their gift. But guess what? I also know we have hundreds of people who aren't. So I'm here to challenge you today, and I'm here to say, open your gift, see what's inside, and put it into use. We need you to do just that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given each one of us spiritual gifts. Thank you that we're needed. Thank you that we're important. Thank you, Lord, that you have connected us with other people whom we need and who are important to us. Father, I pray that many people in our body at CPC would begin to take this call to understand their gifts seriously. I do thank you for the many people who are doing that, but I thank you for many more. Not so this church can fill the vacancies that we have so much, but so the body of Christ can glorify you and be all that we were called to be in our mission on this planet. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.